Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. But before we get to reading God's Word and everything, I just want to let you know that the Lord is still blessing. He blesses the church. When we don't need it. I had a young man today or this week. Give me for the church. His name didn't. He didn't want his name revealed, and I told him I would not reveal it. But he gave the church a $500 check. So we just need to thank the Lord for it. The Lord will use it for the upbringing them up for the upbringing. For uplifting him and doing the work that he has asked us to do. I wasn't expecting any, but you know, we've been praying, and I've been praying for the Lord. Lord, you send me a blessing. Let me know you're still in the works. He's still working. In spite of ourselves. But I do want to thank him. Thank him from the bottom of my heart that he hasn't forgot about us. He hasn't forgot about this little church. Because he knows what this church stands on. And it stands on the love of God. You know, I'm just amazed at what God will do if we would just say, Lord, this is yours, and we're going to do what we can to help you with it. You just lead us and guide us and direct us. But here today in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and it's not but a couple of verses that I'm going to be reading there, and I may read a little more, but I do know this, that the book of Acts is a book about the deacons, about the church, it's about prayer, it's about fasting, it's about so many things. And the book of Acts really tells us what we need to be doing as the church as a whole. Now, I've got it titled today as an old-fashioned church. Old-fashioned church. That's what we are. People say, oh, well, I don't want to go back to being an old-fashioned. Here I am. I'm living in 2016. I don't want to be old-fashioned. Why not? Ain't a thing in the world wrong with being old-fashioned. Old-fashioned will just get down to the core of your bones. And it will help us. It'll help us all along the way. But it says leading up to the point of the church. Being an old-fashioned church. And the scripture is telling us right after Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost had come on the scene, and after Peter had preached one of the greatest messages that he ever preached. And he preached it to the church. Who is the church? The individual believer. We make up Faith Baptist Church here. As each one of us gather, we make up Faith Baptist Church. So if we go ahead and we do something, and what we do is going to affect Faith Baptist Church. It's going to affect it on its own merits and what it's doing. If we're praising the Lord and we're lifting the Lord up, then we're representing Faith Baptist Church. We're not representing ourselves. We're representing Faith Baptist Church. That's the one reason I say that if anybody talks about Faith Baptist Church, they just need to let us alone. If they're not here, they need to let us alone because they don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that He got a hold of my heart one day. I'm so thankful that He got a hold of my heart before the Baptist did. Because if the Baptist had got a hold of my heart, I don't know where I'd be at today. I doubt verse 6, I'd probably be in church. Now, I'm not throwing off on the Baptist. I'm a Baptist by choice. I'm a Baptist by choice. And I'm an old-fashioned Christian by who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't call me Baptist, Pentecostal. He didn't call me none of that. He called me a Christian. What's the word Christian mean? Means to be Christ-like. Means to be, I'm supposed to strive at my very best for Him. In His glory. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. One of the Gospels there. It speaks about the death and the resurrection. But today, here in the text that we're going to be reading, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And speaking about the first church, speaking about you, speaking about me, this is what that Peter was talking about. This was what Peter was telling the church back there in the day of Pentecost, that he was out here preaching the gospel, and he did not hold anything back. He didn't hold anything back. He just told people like it was. But he did not realize one thing. That he was preaching to his own self. His preaching to him, to his own self, is who he was preaching to. Because we know that where the Lord said something to Peter back over there in chapter 13 in the book of John, and he's telling him, he says, Peter, you cannot go where I'm going now. Because Peter, he went to the Lord Jesus and he begged him. He pleaded with him. I want to go with you. What he was really basically saying is, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do down here without you. He had a pity me party going on. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread in prayer. They knew what the doctrine was. They knew what the Word of God said. They knew what Jesus was saying when he was there telling them. But when he had left and he went to Calvary and he died and he bled and was buried and he rose again on the third day. And then he was in heaven with the Father. They didn't know what they was going to do. They did not see him. See, as long as they could see him, they was okay. Their heart was okay. As long as they could see him. As long as they could go to him and touch him. That is a whole lot of the reason I believe today where the people do not want to come to church, and it's for the fact is that they cannot come in and touch the Lord. But they can. They have to do the touching. They have to go and just like the widow lady there. Just like Mary, Martha, when they went up to him, and when the blind man went up to him, what did he do? He went up to the Lord Jesus, and he cried out two or three times. Says, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And he had mercy on him. But not only did he have mercy on him, but he had touched his garment. Just like the one that had the 12 issues of blood. She'd been sick for 12 years. Because she had the issue of blood. And he says, who touched me? They was coming up to him and saying, get away from him. You just don't go up to him and start touching all over him. Because we are protecting him. I sure am glad the Lord Jesus protects him. Is protecting me today. Because if he wasn't protecting me, then I have no idea what I'd be doing. But they stood steadfastly. Meaning they stood on the doctrine. They could not be wavered. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Every soul, feared the Lord because they wanted to know exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. Because he was there. But see, he's not with us no more. In body. But he is with the Spirit. And his Spirit helps us. And teaches us through the Word of God. And what we must do as Christians. And being an old-fashioned, fundamental, King James, devil-hating church. I'm Baptist by choice. But I'm an old-fashioned Christian. on an old-fashioned journey. I'm an old-fashioned pilgrim passing through. Just passing through. But thanks be to God. As long as I'm passing through with Him, I can go where He leads me. And I will come out on the other end stronger than the day that I went in. Why? Because I'm allowing Him to be what He is. I'm allowing Him to be who He is. Who is He? He's God. What is He? What is He to your life? He's my all in all. He's everything to me. That's the wonders. We can allow our minds just to focus. Let it go. And let it dream a little while. Like in the book of Daniel. Daniel saw the handwriting on the wall. On the wall. Why? Because he was dreaming a dream. He saw the handwriting on the wall. We can see the same handwriting today that's on the wall. People today, they don't realize that they're so close. They're so close to where they can touch it. In making their life a whole lot better. In making decisions that will change the outcome that they are about ready to face. We don't know what we're going to be facing tomorrow. But I thank the Lord Jesus that I know who does know who holds tomorrow. And I know when I go through tomorrow, I'm in the palm of His hands. I'm right there, right there. But when I go into tomorrow, right there, He's going to take it. He's going to take a little hand and put it right there. He's going to cover me up. Why? So Satan can't destroy me. Did you realize Satan wanted to destroy me? He wanted to destroy me for years. And I almost by, what is it, how did it go, to chin and all that. I mean, I almost gave in to the Lord. I almost just hung everything up. I almost just hung my shingles up. And said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I don't think I want to go out here and preach anymore. I don't think I want to go out here and teach him. I don't think I want to go out here and witness for somebody. For somebody and trying to get them saved no more. It's too much going on now because people don't respect you anymore. And if people don't come in and respect the house of God, and if they don't come in and respect their own family that's in the house of God today, then they don't even respect them on their own selves. So if they don't respect the house of the Lord, why should anybody respect them? But the Lord Jesus, he still does. The Lord Jesus still loves them. The Lord Jesus is not going to say, well, son, I done give you all the chances in the world. You go work things out on your own. You know, I've talked to some preachers and they won't go to the hospital. And they won't go to the hospital and talk to someone about the Lord. They say, because that's given that when they do that and the individual talks to them about the Lord, that they're given a deathbed confession. I told the individual, the preacher that I was talking to, I told him, I said, well, I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was dead. I had not lost my last breath, but I was dead considering the Word of God. But that's where the signs, that's where the wonders of God comes in. Because he comes in and he tells us what we must do. Now I'll say this. I thank the Lord for my family. I thank the Lord for my wife. And I thank the Lord for my daughter. I'll tell you one thing. She has kept my daughter, has kept me from just giving up. She says, Daddy, she says, you know you can't give up. You know God don't want you to give up. You know the devil, he's the one who wants you to give up. You're going to give in to the devil. And she was right. Oh, you couldn't argue. I mean, I couldn't argue with them. I didn't have no grounds to argue with them. I just told her, I just didn't see no need of me doing it anymore. I didn't see no need of me going to Roman Eagle anymore. I didn't see no need of me going to different churches anymore and preaching. She says, you don't. I said, no, I don't. She says, well, I want to ask you one question. Who called you? I said, well, the Lord. It had to be the Lord because, and then I'd go through the whole scenario with her. And the way my life had been and the way that I couldn't speak to people. I mean, if I would just come here and if just stood here instead of preaching and just stood there and y'all just asked me some questions. I couldn't do it. I still can't today. The only way I can do it is by the grace of God. And I thank God for His grace. I thank Him for His long suffering. Thank Him for His mercy. Verse 44 says, and all that believed were together. All that believed were together. We are here this morning. We are together this morning because we believe in this same loving thing. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. And we know that the Trinity is going to be there. Going to be there with me through thick and thin. He going to be there with me when I'm down. And when I have a pity me party. Oh yes, preacher. Oh, you don't have no pity me party. Oh yes, I do. Hey, God called me to preach. Doesn't mean I ain't human. Yeah, I'm human. I'm just as human as anybody else. I have pity me parties. And boy, I tell you one thing. And when you get a hold to a preacher that has a pity me party, then you really will understand what a pity me party is all about. Because I don't think our pity me parties is the same as a pity me party that maybe you may have. But I'm so thankful that the Lord is right there with me. And he's saying, son, won't you just get over that? Just get over yourself. Say, son, I know what you want to do, but you can't do it now. I tell you what. When I got that check in the mail, we're broke by the house. I tell you one thing. I didn't pick up my cane. The only time that what time I picked it up is when I walked out the door. And I got an automobile. But I didn't walk with it going to the automobile. I just go around the house just high-stepping it. Why? Because that's what God wants. He wants me to do something for him. Oh, yes, and I want to do something for him too. I really do. I want to see somebody saved. I want to see people come into the house of God, and I want them to fall in love. And the ones that had fell in love one time, but now their love is not as strong as it was there one time, that they can just come on back and they can feel that love. They can experience the love that they once had. And I'm not going to condemn them. I can't condemn nobody. I can't judge nobody. You say, well, preacher, well, why? When you're up there preaching some messages and everything, you come back and you say, what you're saying is basically you judge them. No, I'm not judging nobody. The Bible. This is God's word. It's just like God standing here and saying it. I'm just, per se, just like the mailboxes I hear. And God, he's the postmaster. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us, you go out and you put the mail in the right boxes. See, he's delivered the mail to me. He's delivered the mail to me. Now I've got to go and put it in the right boxes. When I go and put in the right boxes, that's when the heart of the people will realize, I don't really love God all that much like I used to. But says now, I mean, here it is, I got his letter. He's saying that God still loves me. Loves me more today than he did yesterday. Oh, yes. And he's praying for us. That's what I like about the Word of God. The Lord Jesus says in the Word over here in the book of Luke. I know it's one verse over here, but it's over here in chapter, I think it's chapter 22 in the book of Luke. Yeah. Chapter 2 in the book of Luke. In verse 32, we have to realize one thing. When we start reading in God's Word, anytime you start off, and it has a but there, B-U-T, something is about ready to be revealed that is really important to the reader. And it says, but I. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. It says, but I have. What did he say? Prayed for thee. Hey, I don't know if anybody any better I want praying for me than the Lord. You think I don't want the Lord praying for me? If I don't want to go out here and do something for him, have a pity me, pardon, I say, no, I'm going to give it all up. I'm going to go back down there and I'm going to tell him, in faith, I said, I'm going to resign at the end of the month. Well, why are you going to resign? Well, you know, people just seem like they just don't want to come out no more. They just seem like that they don't feel like that they need to be in church no more. And here I am, I'm praying and I'm studying and trying my very best to come up with the right messages for the hour and following the Lord's leadership. And the Lord says, But I am praying for you, Donnie. I'm praying for you, Donnie. Just hang in there. Just hang in there, Donnie. It's coming. Just hang in there. Be a little more faithful. Be a little more. Woo! Glory and be unto God. Woo! Hallelujah. I believe he's coming back. How about you? And the day's a good, just as good a day as I know of any. Amen. I mean, if he wanted to come back today, I sure don't want to stop him. I sure don't want to be in his way of coming back. I just want to be where he wants me to be at. Verse 45. And they're speaking of the church, speaking of the individuals here that made up the church. It says, and they continually, daily, with one accord, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. And did eat thy meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They come in one accord daily. Yes, when we come to the house of God, yes, we can have pity me parties during the week. And we can struggle during the week. But once we come through them doors and we're among other people of like faith, we don't need to be complaining no more. Why? Because we're not with the world. We're among other brothers and sisters in Christ. I can fellowship with anybody. I know there's different denominations I hear. And they got different views than I have. But as long as we have the same view and hang to become a Christian, I can fellowship with them all day long. But if they want to come and talk to me, and then the first thing they start doing is start running their church down, or start talking about somebody that's in their church, I don't have no time for that. I just don't have no time for it. Because there is something better to do. Something better to do. It's something better for all of us to do in one accord, in unity. And I believe a whole lot of people think when they read the Word of God and they see that word in one accord, they're probably thinking to themselves, well, I got to go out here and buy me a brand new car. The only thing I can buy is a Honda Accord. Really, that's what a whole lot, that's the way really a whole lot of people are here think. They don't even know what the word accord means. They don't even know what the word unity means. I do. In one accord, we come together in agreement on the same principle, the same doctrine, the same Word of God. We believe in the same Savior. That's where unity comes from, where we can be unified together, where we don't bring no argument within the church. The church is no place for argument. Church is no place for just coming up and just start complaining about this and that. The church is a place of worship. And it is a place where they can give God the glory. Where they can give Him the honor. Because He deserves it. They were free-hearted. We need to be free-hearted people too. Free-hearted in what? In giving out the word. Telling people about how wonderful Jesus is. And how Jesus has took care of me. Here, some years ago now, I got a call from Manor in North Carolina to come up out on a Sunday morning and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. Candidate for the church. Well, I was aiming to go the night before. And they was willing to pay for the room, and my wife said, "Nah, we just don't need to go up there. We can drive it the next morning." And that morning, before we left the house, when we was about ready to leave, I believe it was her sister that called her and said something to her about the mother, that they was going to have to take her to the emergency room. And they could took her to the emergency room, and I called because I knew my wife wanted to be up there, and she didn't want me to drive all that distance by myself. And so I called, and I told him, I said, "I'm not going to be able to make it for the 10 o'clock service for Sunday school." I says, "But I'll do my very best to be there at least by 11 o'clock. And I told him, I said, "The reason why is right now because it got her mother in an emergency room. Some things are going on with her and everything and what she was going through and everything. I mean, I couldn't imagine it." But the doctors, the nurses, they just kind of put her off and everything. But then they finally got her back out and everything. And so then we left. And when we got to our destination and going there, if it had not have been for her mother in going to the emergency room, there was a good possibility, well, there was a better chance of me and my wife getting killed that day in an automobile accident. Because about an hour before then, a car had run off the road and come back on the road where I understand it. And it was a log truck. I'd have been right in the midst of it. So we should never complain about if we're going to be late for somewhere. But we must realize, maybe it's the Lord telling us. Says, "I know what is ahead of y'all. I want you to listen. You do as I say, and I'll keep you out of harm's way." And he will. He will. Just like he was three or four weeks, maybe a month ago, that I said something about following the Lord. But you know something? If I went out ahead of the Lord and walking ahead of the Lord out his door and down those steps, got into my automobile there, and with a good chance, I'd say probably a 99.9% chance that I would have probably stumbled and failed going down the stairs. But as I allow the Lord to lead me, when I
went through the door. He was holding my hand. When I took the left, got over to the other, over to where the steps were. Oh, glory to God. This is where I really thank him every day. That he went down to the bottom of the steps. And he said, just come on. You're not going to fall. If you fall, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. How many times has that happened to you? That you were about ready to do something. And he said, something just in the back of your mind says, I need to wait about 5 minutes. I need to wait until the washer or the dryer quits. It ain't going to be 5 minutes. That God wants the very best for me and wants the very best for you. And he's going to do everything he can to bring that about. Sometimes we will say, well, Lord, I don't see what is going to hurt me if I just walk out here and go down there. Well, I go out there and give him a driveway. I say, well, walk up to him on the driveway and walk back. Just get a little exercise. Knowing that I can't run. No, I'm going to be careful in walking. But yet I just said, Lord, I said, I can do this. I can do this. And I get out there. And I started walking. And I started talking. And I started looking around. And then I come back around and look some more. Jeremy, it's a snake out here. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't like snakes. I don't care what color they are. I don't care if they're alive or dead. I just don't like them, period. Because that snake, if I happen to walk up on him, it's going to make me stumble. It's going to make me fall. And I'll tell you what, I know exactly where I fall on. I'd fall right there where that snake would be at. That's where I'd fall at. But when the Lord go before us, he'll kill that old serpent. He will run that old serpent away before we get there. And I won't even have to come about and even think about the serpent. I just think about the glory of God. How God's blessed. How God's blessed.
Verses 4-6 and 4-7. And I'll be closing. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They was going to do what they could. They was going to do what it took to add to the church. And they weren't talking about, and I don't believe Peter was speaking about there when he was talking about it. I don't believe he was speaking about, well, we need to go ahead and do what we can and add to the church. No. I think what he was saying, basically, he said, we need to go ahead and do what we can. We need to touch as many people's hearts as we can in the upbuilding of God's kingdom. God's kingdom. Not this Pentecostal Holiness Church, not this Baptist Church, but to build up the kingdom of God. If we do that, then the Lord is going to, what? Add to the local church. He's going to add to the local body, people. Why? Because of what he's done. He's been so good to me. I can leave right here today saying that he's been good to me and not have a worry in the world. But the only worry that I do have, that I'm worried and I'm concerned about the people that won't come to church. I'm concerned about the people that says, yes, they are Christian. Yes, they know when they got saved. But now, they're looking at life like that they got another 30 or 40 or 50 years. But my word says, they're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. You not either. That's the reason we should do what we can today. Today, because tomorrow never comes. And we have the assurance of that back here hanging on the wall. And if you, each and every one of you are wearing a watch, or if you got a watch or a clock at your home, you got the same thing. You got the assurance of knowing that tomorrow never comes. Because it don't. It's always today. We must do what we do today. To reach people. There's people out here going to die and go to hell. Are they going to go because of my lack of faithfulness to him? Are they? I don't know. I hope that my life and my faithfulness does not get to that point when I can say, well, Lord, I've done all I can do. That's all I can do, is do what I can do. And then I need to say, Lord, you know the individual I just went and visited. And you know what I told him, I said to him. And I tried to be a friend to him. And I invite them to church. And I told them how that they could get saved and how they could really come and enjoy the rest of their life like they've never had before. But that's all I can do, Lord. That's all I can do. You give me somewhere else to go. I'm going to leave them in your hands. I think a whole lot of cases at any time, and I have experienced it myself, I believe. In my case, I went out here and I've talked to people, I've witnessed to them, I've invited them to church. I tell them how to get saved and all of that. I tell them what a wonderful life that it is to be a Christian. And how they can end up having one of the best lives that they could ever imagine. And I would leave there. And being defeated in one way because they didn't get saved. I would leave defeated and because they did not promise me that they would come to church the next service. I would leave defeated. But in leaving as being defeated, I will be defeated. Why? Because that's what I've got in my mind. That's what I've got in my heart, that I have already been defeated. And as long as I talk that way, the Lord's not going to do nothing. He's not going to teach you. He's not going to help you for the next day or the next week. Until I would just say, Lord, here it is. It's nothing I can do about them. I cannot drag them to church. I cannot save the souls. I cannot do any of this. I've done what you've asked me to do. And Lord, you give me somebody else where I can go and talk to them. And Lord, it's while I'm talking to them, you can be talking to these people. And then you never know. Mike can look up the next service and bless Pat. I don't know why, but Pat's always getting a blessing. I don't know why it is. But they always get more blessings than I get, seems like. But even though bless Pat, they will come into the house of the Lord and say, Preacher, I thank you for coming by there. And some things that you said stuck with me. We never know. We have tried it our way. Right? Why don't we try it God's way? And we'll find out if we tried God's way all the time, we wouldn't be in the predicament that we're in. I love him so much today. Yes, I love him more than I do my wife. I love him more than I do my daughter. I love him more than I do my mother. But even with that said, I still love them. Almost as much. Almost as much as I love the Lord. But it's not the same. Not the same kind of love. Glory. I'm going to quit. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord God, we ask now that you would be with us, Father. And Father, I pray, Lord, you'll be with each and every one of the people this evening. Lord, give them this afternoon, Father, a rest. And Lord, as you bring each one of us back, the next appointed time, which will be this afternoon, Father, here to church. Lord, we just ask, Lord, you may just do what you have to do within the hearts and the lives of the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.